This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:17 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Khoo Soo Chuang. In the meantime, we turn our attention to one of the battlefronts of modern conflict, and that's social media. In the over 3 months since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, social media has become the front line for impassioned arguments and debates from both sides of the conflict.
Yep, the outbreak of the war in Ukraine witnessed a surge of social media posts related to the developments there, especially in objection to the conflict and in support of the Ukraine. For example, the hashtags #Ukraine and #StopWar have so far received more than 1 million tweets. However, outside of Europe and the West, pro-Russian sentiments have also been amplified through social media, including in countries like Malaysia and Indonesia.
So a recent working paper published by the IC's Yusuf Ishak Institute examines some of the reasons why these narratives are prevalent in the Malaysian context. So joining us on the line to discuss the research findings is Dr. Benjamin Low, Senior Lecturer at the School of Media and Communication of Taylor's University. He co-wrote this paper with Munira Mustafa, co-founder of the Schosser Group. Ben, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, your study looked specifically at social media views that went contrary to the dominant global narrative in favor of Ukraine. What were the key themes that emerged from groups that support the Russian position in this war?
All right. So there were basically four main themes that really emerged from our analysis of these online spaces in Malaysia, essentially. So the first one, of course, was that there was a very strong sense of Islamic solidarity against an Israel-supporting nation. This was something that we saw quite a bit from many of these pro-Russian groups, essentially. This, of course, was coming from the more pro-Islamic and conservative sides in Malaysia at its core. The next, of course, is there is a very strong sense of anti-Western posture based around whataboutism. The idea here is that Russia was essentially engaging in a form of imperialism that was not too dissimilar from what America and NATO had also been doing in the past. And essentially, they were using that as justification to allow Russia to be able to do the same, essentially. Or they're calling out the double standard that was given against a non-Western country in that sense. Next, of course, was this idea that certain groups of people felt that Malaysia had to remain neutral because by siding against Russia, what they considered to be a superpower, this would lead to potential negative repercussions for Malaysia in the future as a result of that. So neutrality was the reason why Malaysia had to support Russia in this conflict, essentially. And finally, one of the things that stood out for us in this analysis was that there was this constant need from certain quarters to delegitimize Volodymyr Zelensky in his role as leading the country of Ukraine, essentially. So these are four of the main themes that really emerge in the course of our analysis.
Yeah, one of those key themes, Ben, is the anti-Western sentiment. How do you see that diminishing the seriousness of Russia's invasion of the Ukraine?
Definitely. As I mentioned before, this was a form of whataboutism, was the method in which many of these groups tried to sort of like reduce the impact of this invasion, essentially. They often equated what Russia was doing, or rather they downplayed what Russia was doing by comparing it to other invasions that had been perpetuated by America and NATO, especially in Afghanistan and in other parts of the Middle East, essentially. They argued that this is not too different than what they were doing. Why was Russia being attacked by the global community? You know, they cited the fact that America was never sanctioned, NATO was never sanctioned, but Russia, within sort of like a week of the invasion starting, many of these sanctions had already happened, essentially. And they pretty much also were jumping on the similar bandwagon, this argument that the invasion was more of a humanitarian effort from Russia. They often bought into the same rhetoric that the Russian government was trying to perpetuate as well. You know, a lot of the propaganda such as this was a denazification effort, this was an effort to sort of like prevent NATO from expanding. So all of these things were the elements that they were harping on for the most part.
Do you see past events like the MH17 disaster, where Russia was somewhat implicated in the shooting down of a Malaysian Airlines plane? Does this impact the sentiments of Malaysians about the conflict in Ukraine?
You would think that that would actually make Malaysians wary of Russia, but because of the fact that Malaysia itself, you know, former Prime Minister Mahathir actually did sort of like make a statement that called into question the final findings of that inquiry to the downing of MH17, whereby he said that Russia was being scapegoated as a result of that. And he used that as a way, and that was often cited as an example of how Malaysians don't actually attribute blame to Russia for MH70, you know, they would refer to the fact that, oh, it was actually Ukrainian separatists that were doing it. And so, to a certain extent, while for many people, for many observers looking into Malaysia, that actually came up across as a very sort of like bewildering point. Why is a country that actually had a national carrier that was downed by elements linked to Russia supporting Russia? But again, there was a lot of recontextualizing of the evidence there as well. And that was used to sort of like justify why Russia had to sort of go into Ukraine as a result of that.
And Ben, what about the political left and right in Malaysia? Do you see them sharing the same sentiment?
So from our paper, we actually found that while on the one hand, you know, this the sentiment that I brought up about how a lot of the pro-Islamic groups or the conservative groups actually did resonate with many of the sort of like pro-Islamic rhetoric as well. One of the things that was very, very common between both the conservative right groups of within Malaysia and the more liberal left side of Malaysia really was the sentiment of anti-Western rhetoric was the strongest sentiment that was shared between these groups as well. This desire for neutrality was not really shared between the two of them. That one is more towards the left. But in terms of anti-West, both sides actually shared that idea that, yes, NATO should not have been doing these things to instigate Russia. And essentially, Russia was reacting towards an act of instigation and they were provoked, essentially. So that was a very, very common theme that I would say that was shared between both sides.
Ben, in your research, you noted that the Malaysians who support Russia are unlikely to feel the same about China, even though these two countries tend to be on the same side in geopolitical circles. So why is that?
The support for Russia and support for China is, of course, not nearly equivalent in that sense. For the most part, China's interaction with Malaysia has more direct consequences. You know, for the most part, you know, the adventurous actions of China with regards to the South China Sea, you know, the contentious history with regarding to the treatment of the Uyghurs in Xinjiang have all had direct consequences and interactions with Malaysians in general. And so Malaysians, for the most part, and together with the fact that, we have a sort of contentious history with communism in this country, Malaysians are a lot more wary and cautious with how we think about our relationship with China. So, you know, combined with the fact that, you know, there are a number of Belt and Road Initiative investments in the country that have sort of like affected the way that we think about the sovereignty of our country. And so Malaysians are very cautious when it comes to China. But when it comes to Russia, where there's significant distance and people's association with Russia is a little bit more positive as a result of that, you know, they see Russia as a superpower that is actually countering the West to a certain degree. And for many people, especially from the conservative circles, they see Russia as an sort of like an ally to Islam, even though it may not be an Islamic state, but it is an ally. They look at it as an ally to Islam as a result of that.
And during the COVID pandemic, we saw rising misinformation. Do you see the same phenomenon of fake news spreading, you know, when it comes to this conflict between Russians and the Ukraine?
Oh, yes, definitely. I think as we noted in our paper, we did see a lot of instances of various sort of like agent provocateurs who are present in various online spaces, essentially. And this is something that has been widely reported by other news sites as well. There has been a very strong information warfare campaign that is being waged by Russia, essentially. And of course, this was perpetuated by their state media outlets, RT in particular. And they have been really going about it quite in different ways. I think the way that the Russian government was engaging with Malaysia, of course, I think in the first couple of days after the invasion started, there was this very, very infamous video released by the Russian embassy where a member of the Russian delegation, a Russian diplomat essentially donned traditional Malay wear with complete with Baju Melayu and Songkok, and basically addressed the Malaysian public and presented Russia's side of why this special operation had taken place, essentially. So this was something that the Russian state has essentially been engaging with. And in various social media sites that we saw on Facebook and also on other online forums, there were a lot of these cyber troopers that were present trying to advance certain goals and ideas, essentially, as well.
Ben, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Dr. Benjamin Low, Senior Lecturer at the School of Media and Communication at Taylor's University, talking to us about some of the trends that researchers have found when it comes to social media discussions on the war in Ukraine, really exploring, I suppose, why pro-Russian arguments have gained traction among Malaysians here.
Yeah, and that sentiment is hardly surprising, because when you analyze social media consumption patterns and adoption rates among Malaysians, I think Malaysia is in the top 10 in the world for most number of Facebook memberships per head of population. I think we've got like 14 million Facebook accounts versus Malaysia's 32 million population. So on a per capita basis, the fact that, you know, in a way, alternative views prolifer on social media, right? It's hardly surprising that Malaysia has an alternative view on this whole thing.
It's very interesting to me when he said that some Malaysians view Russia as, I suppose, pro-Muslim countries. That's quite, I suppose, when I think of the Second Chechen War, for example, that could hardly be seen as pro-Muslim. So I feel like there's a lot of different threads in the debate that can be explored and are seen in different ways by different people.
Well, there's a historical context there, because when you see the former USSR republics, who are now independent states like Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, those are actually Muslim states as well.
All right, 7:29 in the morning. We're continuing our discussion of geopolitical dynamics, but this time looking at Turkey next. This is taking place after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.